WRCT Pittsburgh. No one is as excited about flaming cheese as we are.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section and after Dad's back injury. They helped when you were in pain, and you held on to them just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Trouble with opioids can start at home with unused medicines, such as pills, patches, and syrups. You can remove the risk and protect your family. Find out how at www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
Elon Musk's Tesla, expected to lay off more than 10% of its workforce, and everybody is seeing in this what they want to ascribe politically, either to Elon Musk or to electric vehicles. I think both interpretations are wrong here, and I want to discuss it. CNBC reporting, Dow surges more than 100 points as strong retail sales and earnings overshadow the Iran-Israel conflict. But one company that is not doing so well is Tesla. Tesla will lay off more than 10% of its global workforce. And it gives access, the article does, to an Elon Musk memo that refers to preparing the company for the next phase of growth, looking at cost reductions, increasing productivity. And indeed, there is going to be a more than 10% layoff of Tesla staff. Now, let me give you a couple different perspectives on this that are being floated, none of which I think really captures what's going on. And I say this, I'm going to give this disclaimer, even though people said I no longer have to because I no longer own the stock. Some people still think I do. I used to own Tesla stock. I sold all of it. Okay. I still drive a Tesla for a few more months, but then my lease is over and I'm getting almost certainly something different. So this has nothing to do with my personal connection to Tesla. And quite frankly, I had such a relatively small amount of stock anyway. It doesn't even really matter. There are some who really don't like Elon Musk and are saying this is what Elon Musk has caused. Elon Musk has ruined Tesla. It's terrible. He ruined it just like he ruined Twitter by turning it into X and all of the things that are going on. So the 10% layoff is simply because Elon Musk sucks. I don't think that's actually the situation in this particular case. The other side of this is because electric vehicles are terrible. The technology is no good. The cars are no good. You can't drive far, like Trump likes to say. This is an indictment of electric vehicles in general. I think that is also the wrong interpretation. I think that this has very little to do with Elon Musk and with electric vehicles as the problem, and everything to do with how comparatively Tesla is starting to not have the very obvious first mover advantage that it once did. It is still the case that with few exceptions, when it comes to range, Tesla is at the top when it comes to electric vehicles, although increasingly, and especially with 2025 model years, there will be lots of good competition in terms of vehicle range. That's not good for Tesla, but Tesla vehicles still have great range. When it comes to the charging network, Tesla still has the best charging network. Some other companies are being given access to it. Rivian vehicles, for example, I believe now can start using Tesla superchargers, but it is still the case that Tesla, as far as charging for longer trips, is the most convenient rather than dealing with level two chargers, which can take 7 hours to fill up the battery in a significant manner. You've got Tesla superchargers, 15, 20 minutes and off you go. The issue here is that as more people realize that for 95% of their driving, they don't need superchargers. You can just charge at home because you're not driving far enough that you're exceeding the range of the vehicle. As people realize, I actually don't need the Tesla supercharger network except for long road trips, which most people don't do. And as people realize that the build quality of Teslas, in my opinion, still leaves a little something to be desired, and there are legacy automakers that have been making cars for much longer that make really good cars. I have friends now who regularly say to me, "Sir, I test drove a Tesla and a Hyundai Ioniq, and I like the Ioniq better. It felt more solid, and I like the service availability of Hyundai dealerships," or whatever the case may be. At the higher end, so many people that say to me, "You know, I test drove the Model X, the Tesla Model X, But then I looked at the BMW iX, and I'm interested in the forthcoming Volvo EX90, and the Rivian blew it out of the water. So the point here is Tesla did so much to speed up the development of electric vehicles, and that's a great thing. Now that the first mover advantage is starting to diminish, in total, we are selling more and more electric vehicles. Electric vehicles continue to grow, but Tesla's share of those electric vehicles is diminishing, and it makes sense because you have more companies entering the competition. So is it because Elon Musk sucks that Tesla is now laying off 10% of its workforce? I don't think so. Elon Musk has done horrible things with, as far as X is concerned, but I don't think he is really to blame for what's going on here with Tesla, other than, you know, as CEO, certainly the buck stops with him, but it's not a particular thing. And it is not an indictment of electric vehicles in general, which continue to see more and more sales. This is my interpretation of this. Let me know what you think. Let me know if you care. Let me know if you think this type of segment is even interesting, or whether I should never talk about electric vehicles and Tesla again. All right, let's do another type of segment that many have requested, which I don't know if the audience is interested in. I'm going to review with you what seems to me something going very wrong with the comedian political analyst Jimmy Dore. I'm going to play a clip for you here of Jimmy Dore from The Jimmy Dore Show, where he seems to be expressing that he has wholesale accepted a handful or more major conspiracy theories that have been floated over the last many years. And my concern with this is, I'm going to play a clip of Jimmy Dore and a clip of Chris Hedges in a moment, praising Dore. I don't recognize the left here. So this is not about me gatekeeping and saying, listen, if Jimmy calls himself left, I'm not the person who's going to come in and say no. But similarly to what we saw with Tulsi Gabbard, who now is speaking at Mar-a-Lago and she's speaking at CPAC and she would like to be Trump's VP, I don't recognize leftism anywhere there. And there were people in 2016 saying Tulsi Gabbard is the only real leftist here, totally bamboozled, snowed by her. There were people writing to me saying, David, you've jumped the shark. It's Jimmy Dore who really represents the left. I just don't see the left here. And I admit, I haven't seen any of Jimmy's clips for a while now. I didn't realize it had gotten this bad. Let me set this up for you. In this 54-second clip, Jimmy guesses that the 2024 election will be rigged for Joe Biden, which, Trumpian narrative, of course. Ken Block and other actual experts have looked at 2020. There was no rigging. There was no substantive fraud, more than a few dozen votes that many of them seem to have accidentally been, you know, someone who voted absentee and then died and their vote was counted, or a junior who voted and it was counted as senior, even though senior was dead. Nothing substantive. And in saying that 2024 will be rigged, Jimmy Dore goes, they blew up Building 7 and they did JFK. They did Libya. They did Afghanistan and they did COVID. This is the left now. This is a scary left. Take a look at this.
So it's going to be Biden or Trump. It looks like it's going to be Trump, but
not necessarily.
I think they're going to probably rig it. That's my guess.
They who?
Why wouldn't they? Of course they. Why wouldn't they? They blow up Building 7. They do JFK. They do Libya. They do
what? The sit what?
Afghanistan for 20 years. I mean, there isn't a thing they haven't lied to you about. They did COVID.
They did COVID?
So why wouldn't they? You think that's beyond the pale, that they would rig an election in the United States? So I think they'll do anything, including turning us into a transparent banana republic, which is what they've done in the prosecution of Donald Trump, Russiagate for the whole thing. And so they're going to get their wars, and they got them. And Donald Trump was a speed bump in them getting their wars.
This is extraordinarily serious, serious, serious brainworms. I don't know whether to call them MAGA brainworms, but there's no leftism in there. There's maybe alluding to some faux populist rhetoric about how they are doing all of these things that are bad for the average person. maybe, like being super charitable, I don't see any leftism left there. What I see there is conspiracy brain. And then they always love to say, well, you're using the word conspiracy simply to as a pejorative. Well, in one sentence, you're wrapping in that the people who did Building 7 and did COVID and did Libya and did JFK are going to do the election theft so that Joe Biden, who, by the way, won by 7 million votes in 2020, one of the most scrutinized elections in history and still no, it's sort of like the Biden crimes. 40 years of a public career scrutinized and they've got nothing. Years now of scrutinizing the 2020 election, they've got nothing other than the number of sandwiches in a van didn't match the number of poll workers. Give me a break. And I'm supposed to recognize that this is leftism. So listen, if at this point we all acknowledge there is nothing left about Jimmy Dore, and this is the same as Tulsi Gabbard or Dave Rubin or whoever, then fine. It's just another right wing bomb thrower. But if there are still people who recognize leftism in this kind of content, I want to hear from you. What left wing principles are we seeing here? I can enumerate my left wing principles, and they relate to economic justice and how taxation should be done and what education policy should be, and a respect and understanding for empiricism, while understanding that also when you mix the interests of large corporations with empiricism, you get something like Big Pharma, which has done lots of good and also has to be very closely regulated because sometimes it does bad. Right. I can put together a package that's very clearly there's no place other than the left on which my ideology can exist. I don't see leftism here. Now, just one other clip, and this is kind of a bummer, too. Here's Chris Hedges. Another individual who is there still leftism here, or is it a lot of this at the way what I would end up actually calling this is contrarian anarcho-libertarianism. That's kind of what this is. Here's Chris Hedges placing Jimmy Dore alongside comedians like George Carlin and Richard Pryor as if Jimmy now, forget about the political analysis. The political analysis is actually part of his, he's one of the top comedians of all time with this sort of socio-political commentary. I don't know what the hell's happened to Chris Hedges either. It's sad.
Joining me to discuss the transformation of comedy from an art form rooted in the counterculture to one that has largely become a megaphone for power is Lee Camp, who, like the comics of another era, Lenny Bruce, Richard Pryor, Mort Stahl, Bill Hicks, and George Carlin, and a handful of his contemporaries, including Jimmy Dore, is not afraid to use his razor-sharp wit.
It's very difficult for me. Oh, there might be two more words here.
Against our real enemies.
They use their razor-sharp wit against our real enemies. When I see Richard Pryor and George Carlin, it doesn't strike me that Jimmy Dore is part of that. And I guess Chris Hedges thinks it is. So listen, this seems like a perverted sort of, you might call this the post left or the ex left. I don't know. I want to hear from you. If I am misunderstanding how this is the modern left wing of American politics and American political critique, if I am making the mistake and simply not seeing this for the true leftism that it is, and it is I who have gone astray, I want to hear from you. I want you to tell me exactly what are the left-wing principles here that are being espoused. The new website is live. We finally made it over the finish line. JoinPacman.com. Check out the beautiful new website. I'm so glad. We're still tweaking a few little things, but it's a beautiful website. It looks beautiful. We'll take a quick break. It is a packed show today. We have an unprecedented situation today. It is the first criminal trial of a former president. That former president is Donald Trump. And indeed, jury selection starts today in the first of four criminal trials. This is a big, big deal. And if you believe that this is the beginning of Trump's path to prison, it starts with this. It starts with jury selection in the first of four criminal trials. Whether there is prison at the end of the rainbow here certainly remains to be seen. If there is to be prison, the path would start with, can Trump get jurors in New York acceptable to him and to his lawyers. Trump wanted to make history. And indeed, there has never been a president who has been criminally tried. We talked about those arrests of former presidents, but never have we seen a president criminally tried. And the trial really is going to set a new precedent in American politics, where a former president is actively involved in a criminal trial while campaigning for re-election and is, although he has not yet officially been made the Republican nominee, that will happen at the RNC over the summer. He is the de facto and presumptive Republican nominee. What are the legal boundaries? What is the level of resilience that is required for Trump to go from 4 days a week of trial? I guess they get Wednesdays off, to campaigning and rallies and all of the cult stuff that he is doing. And there are people who are minimizing the significance of this trial. And I know that there are those who say this is less serious than the other trials because it involves a porn star, at least loosely so. But the truth is that there is election interference here and campaign finance violations at stake. If Stormy Daniels, rather than have accepting a hush money payment, which appears to have violated campaign finance laws, if Stormy Daniels had come out 2 weeks before the election and told the story of what happened, it's conceivable that the outcome in 2016 would have been different, meaning that Trump would not have selected three anti-choice Supreme Court justices, meaning that we would have Roe v. Wade today. So for those saying, this is the weakest of all of them, we might have Roe v. Wade today were it not for the alleged criminality that will be adjudicated in this trial. So let's not minimize it. This does all revolve around these allegations that in order to pay off Stormy Daniels so that she would shut up, Trump falsified business records, potentially interfering with the election process. And that's a really, really big deal. The backdrop here, of course, is that Donald Trump is continuing to flip out on social media and say it's all unfair. It's all crazy. They're coming after me. We are going to look at some of those comments momentarily. Donald Trump asked over the weekend or Friday, do you plan to testify at this trial? As usual, Trump said he would testify. He has said this many times. He never does unless he is forced to by the other side. Trump almost certainly will not testify here in his defense, but he says, yeah, sure. Take a listen.
You plan to testify in your trial in New York?
Yeah, I would testify, absolutely. It's a scam. It's a scam. That's not a trial. That's not a trial. That's a scam. If you read Jonathan Turley, if you read Andy McCarthy, if you read the legal, they said there's not even.
Trump's like, if you read, which, by the way, I don't read. Trump always says he would testify. He plans to testify. He never testifies. And we are also going to be looking at the reaction of the Republican Party to this. Here is Senator Katie Britt wearing a large cross necklace across her chest and still using that very disturbing, affected voice that she used for the State of the Union response. Here is Katie Britt, Republican senator on Fox News, dismissing this entire thing. She just doesn't care. And many Republicans are of the same mind.
So, Senator, you're a legislator, but you're also a lawyer.
Yes.
Do you feel like the president can get a fair trial here in New York?
No, I mean, look at what we're seeing. This is the left continuing to melt down over Donald Trump.
This is the left.
They are obsessed. I mean, there is a reason both the federal prosecutors and state prosecutors said we are not going to move forward with this. And then you have Alvin Bragg enter into the arena and want to make a name for himself. People know that. People are sick of the two-tiered system of justice that we're seeing.
We are sick of the two-tiered system of justice, but it's not the one she thinks exists. It's the one Ali Honig described to us last week.
And I think that the more the media can talk about this, which we're going to see them do, then the less they have to talk about what a disaster this country is under Joe Biden. They know people want Donald Trump back in the White House, and they absolutely cannot stand it.
Remember, the people who never, ever, ever gave Trump 50% of the vote, those are the people that she says obviously want Trump back in the White House. This is going to be a story throughout these trials. Covering the no matter how you cover these trials, even covering them as witch hunts, is putting in the minds of voters, this guy might just as likely be to be behind bars as in the Oval Office. Is this really who I want to vote for? So the approach that they are going to take is to go after the media outlets and saying, even the fact that this is being covered, Trump's criminal trials, which of course they are. We've never had a president in a criminal trial, never mind four. The fact that media outlets are covering the trials is all to cover up the disasters of Joe Biden. That's what they're going with. And you're going to hear it time and again. It would be journalistic malpractice to ignore one of the biggest stories, arguably, of the political world in the last 100 years, the multiple criminal trials against a former president for the things he's accused of doing. This morning, minutes before arriving in court, Trump flipping out. Let's briefly talk about that. Just moments before the start of Donald Trump's first of four criminal trials with jury selection in New York, he took to Truth Social and just absolutely losing it.
Truth Central.
Trump spending the morning, maybe as he was en route to the courthouse, posting tirade after tirade, starting with, quote, "As virtually every legal scholar has powerfully stated, the Biden Manhattan witch hunt case is, among other things, barred by the statute of limitations. This trial should be ended by the highly conflicted presiding judge." Remember, no evidence the judge is conflicted and no evidence that Joe Biden is in any way involved. But that's what Trump is insisting. Trump continuing. "The radical left Democrats are already cheating on the 2024 presidential election by bringing or helping to bring all of these bogus lawsuits against me, thereby forcing me to sit in courthouses and spend money that could be used for campaigning instead of being out in the field knocking crooked Joe Biden, the worst president in the history of the United States, election interference." Trump continuing, "Why didn't they bring this totally discredited lawsuit 7 years ago? Election interference." And then lastly, Trump says, "I want my voice back. This crooked judge has gagged me. Unconstitutional. The other side can talk about me, but I am not allowed to talk about them." Rigged trial. Remember, of course, that the gag orders against Trump have not been particularly effective since he continues to regularly post articles and messages attacking the judge's daughter and attacking key witnesses and going after other people. But he's always the victim. It's election interference. No evidence of that. Biden's doing this. No evidence of that. It should be illegal to even do this to Trump. Doesn't seem to coincide with the law. So Trump is, remember what I said during the E. Jean Carroll and then also the fraud trials, which were civil in nature. Trump's freedom was not at stake in those trials because they were civil. And Trump was still flipping out, still attacking everyone, still insisting he did nothing wrong. Trump's freedom is now on the line. It is now getting very real. So I anticipate in the morning, going into court, coming out of court, that Trump will regularly be flipping out and meanwhile trying to run a presidential campaign. The next question is, are there any Republicans willing to say this is too much? This is not who should be representing us, other than people like Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney. The answer is apparently not. Let's talk about that next. Republican governor of New Hampshire, Chris Sununu, says that no matter what, he and what he claims are 51% of American voters will be supporting Donald Trump, regardless of the charges against him, regardless of guilty verdicts against Donald Trump. This was an interview on This Week with George Stephanopoulos yesterday. This is not exactly a profile in courage for Chris Sununu. He is asked by George Stephanopoulos to sum up all of the things Trump has done. It doesn't matter. You're still supporting the guy. And Sununu defiantly says yes. And so is 51% of America. We're going to fact check those numbers in a moment.
That's how badly America wants a culture change.
So just to sum up, you would support him for president, even if he's convicted in classified documents. You support him for president, even though you believe he contributed to an insurrection. You support him for president, even though you believe he's lying about the last election. You support him for president, even if he's convicted in the Manhattan case. I just want to say the answer to that is yes, correct?
Yeah, me and 51% of America.
Governor, thanks for your time this morning.
Now, Chris Sununu seems to be saying it's not crazy for me to support Trump, despite all of those things George Stephanopoulos said, because 51% of America supports him despite those things also. So I don't know where he's getting that number, 51%. Trump's never gotten 51% of the vote. Trump won in 2016 with 45% of the popular vote. Trump lost in 2020 with 46% of the popular vote. Trump has never had the support of 51% of America's voters. And of course, it's a little bit risky to assume that with Trump having 45 and 46% of the popular vote, previously that with all of this going on, he's going to grow his share of the vote to 51%. I think that it's very difficult to make any serious predictions in this election. But the one I would be comfortable making is Trump doesn't get 50% of the vote, especially, by the way, if RFK Jr. is still on the ballot. I don't see any way, even in a head to head matchup, that Trump gets 50% of the vote. If RFK is in there, Cornel West, Jill Stein, there is no, that's a bet I would take. So I don't know where Chris Sununu is getting this stuff. One more clip here. This is from earlier in the interview. George Stephanopoulos starts by asking, even if he's convicted, would you still support the guy? And again, not a profile in courage here from Governor Sununu.
Tomorrow, that criminal trial, will your support for Donald Trump continue even if he's convicted in Manhattan?
Yeah, this trial is not going to have major political ramifications that a lot of people, I think it may have. When it comes to these issues, people see it more as reality TV at this point. They really do. And so
this is a lie, by the way, and we have the numbers to back it up. But stand by.
You know, whether it's a conviction or what that conviction looks like, a lot of folks, they conflate all four of these different trials that he's in. I don't think it's good that he's going to be in the court. Have to be in there probably 3 days a week, for a number of weeks. That takes him off the campaign trail. He'll probably go back on the campaign trail and almost like rehash what's going on. He'll try to victimize it. And that has worked for him, right? I mean, this has been going on for over a year, and his poll numbers never seem to go down because of the issue.
So listen, his poll numbers, it is true, his poll numbers do not seem to be going down because of this issue, although some like Rachel Bitticoffer would argue it's too early to really see the effect of that. It is not true that most voters see this trial as nonsense. In fact, we have new polling, and we talked about it on the bonus show, and we will do so again. Americans do see this as quite serious. Whether their vote would change based on conviction is a different poll. And that is, we have some of that data, and it seems that there aren't that many Americans who would vote for Trump if he were to be convicted. But Chris Sununu is gaslighting here, suggesting that nobody really sees this as serious. Most Americans do see these charges as serious. It is true that some are conflating the four different cases. They are four different cases for different alleged wrongdoing. Each will be adjudicated in its own venue and on its own merits. But if Sununu is assuming Americans think this is no big deal, I am sure that hardcore MAGA, there's probably 20, 30, 40, maybe million people who see this as just a nonsense witch hunt. The vast majority of the country, including many Republicans, see these as serious charges. And the question now becomes, what happens if there's a conviction? Polling from a few months ago suggested a conviction would dissuade even more people from Donald Trump. No matter what, we all have to vote. But I think a conviction will hurt Donald Trump. Let me know what you think. Failed former President Donald Trump suffering another series of scary cognitive events at a rally in Schnecksville, Pennsylvania over the weekend. As we've heard from a number of mental health experts in recent weeks, Donald Trump really seems to struggle at night to coherently speak. And here is another one of those examples where Trump just seems to freeze up and just waves the white flag, completely aborts what he's trying to say. You'll see, by the way, a woman over his right shoulder. So on the left of the screen, over Trump's right shoulder, a woman who winces when Trump does this. She knows how bad it is. This is really difficult to watch.
Is he crazy? Really? Just this week, it was reported that an illegal alien, and you just look at this, what's happening.
And as you can see, there is this moment here where the woman just winces, oof, as Donald Trump short circuits again. And this is one of those moments that Dr. John Gartner told us about and Dr. Siegel. Trump just doesn't seem to connect. This is not, you know, Joe Biden has a stutter. This is not a stutter. This seems to be a true disconnect between a number of different elements, and it is sad to see the deterioration.
Is he crazy? Really? Just this week, it was reported that an illegal alien, and you just look at this. What?
And just white flagging completely. A number of other, I don't know what to call these anymore, during this speech, something very, very wrong. Trump, on the word weakness, instead referring to weak nicks. And this is a classic phonemic paraphasia, as described by Dr. John Gartner.
Before going any further, I want to say God bless the people of Israel. They're under attack right now. That's That's because we show great weaknesses.
We are showing great weakness. And when it happens, Trump always twitches because something is going on there that we are not yet fully able to describe. One other one where there is a very confused rant about trans sports and just really, I mean, he seems super confused.
Now, I don't use that. I mean, I think it's terrible, but I don't. I just say from a common sense,
from a common stance rather than common sense standpoint.
It's ridiculous. I'm always embarrassed when I say, and I will stop men from playing in women's. Who the hell would care?
He would stop men from playing in women's what? Trump lost and disoriented and clueless. Maybe the weirdest moment was an extraordinarily bizarre rant about the Gettysburg Address, which sounds like, remember in fifth grade when you had to give an oral book report and you hadn't read the book? That's what this sounds like to me.
Where our Union was saved by the immortal heroes at Gettysburg. Gettysburg, what an unbelievable battle that was, the Battle of Gettysburg. What an unbelievable, I mean, it was so much and so interesting and so vicious and horrible and so beautiful in so many different ways.
Donnie, did you read the book?
It represented such a big portion of the success of this country. Gettysburg, wow. I go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania to look and to watch.
He looks.
And the statement of Robert E. Lee, who's no longer in favor. Did you ever notice that? No longer in favor.
It's wild. They're just not big on Robert E. Lee anymore. So really just short-circuiting and aimless rants. Maybe the most dictatorial moment of the speech in Schnecksville, Pennsylvania, was when Trump said he wants to be able to override the Constitution and to choose when elections are held. That's funny. Who else likes to do that around the world?
I wish we could move the election to Tuesday. Is there anything we can do? I want to move the election to Tuesday. You know, in the UK, they can pick their election. They say, we're going to have the election next week. I want to be able to do that. Would that be possible?
Constitution be damned. I want to pick election day. And then, of course, Donald Trump endorsing the rapid execution of drug dealers. Funniest part about this is Trump, on the one hand, pardoned or commuted the sentences of 85 people convicted of drug trafficking or distributing large quantities of drugs. But then now he's going the other way, which is he would want some of those people, I guess, killed.
Understand his strength. They understand strength and it'll all stop. You know, when I met with President Xi of China, I said, do you have a drug problem? No, no, no. We have no drug problem. Why is that? Quick trial. I said, tell me about a quick trial. When they catch the seller of drugs, right, the purveyor of drugs, they immediately give them, the drug dealers, they immediately give them a trial. Takes one day. At the end of that day, if they're guilty, which they always are, according to people that study.
Sounds like a super just justice system, doesn't it?
I don't think anybody has never been guilty. Within one day, that person is executed. They execute they execute the drug dealers. They have zero drug problem.
Trump waxing poetic about the rapid show trials and immediate executions of drug dealers, 85 of whom he pardoned when he was president. Wild and deranged stuff. So Trump cognitively deteriorating, authoritarian escalations, dictatorial wet dreams. Basically what we can expect if we get four more years of him. And we're now going to look at some of the cultists who went to this event. Really, really disturbing stuff. I'm going to take a look at some of the videos. Trump supporters who went to Trump's latest rally in Schnecksville, Pennsylvania, were interviewed. In this first video, you'll see Trump walk over. And I want you to look over Trump's left shoulder. If you're listening, this won't play, but I'll describe it to you. There's a woman who is just blowing him kisses. And you really have to put yourself in the mindset of the cults that these folks are in, blowing Trump endless kisses.
This Trump.
Trump! 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 Yeah, Trump!
There she is. kiss after kiss just coming in. Okay. All right. So we know that they're in a cult, but let's listen to some of the things that they had to say. Right Side Broadcasting interviewing a presumably random selection of Trump supporters. Maybe these are actually the more sane sounding ones, which is really scary. It's wild because interviews with Trump supporters at a rally are no different than an SNL skit. It reads like a gag reel. Here is a guy saying he just did 10 years in prison. He's on probation. And Trump is great. Okay.
This is sober. This show just gets better and better, doesn't it?
I did 10 years in prison.
This show gets even better.
Hey, let me tell you something about Trump. Okay. He's the best, man. Okay. He did the best that he could do from people that he had to go forward on.
I agree.
So for the first, if you got some in the back, if you got some behind you, you can't say I did it, right?
Well, for the first 2 years, hang on a second.
He's been in office for 5 years.
Hey, well, Danny, hang on a second. For the first 2 years, he had a Congress that wasn't working with him.
Water. My mouth is dry.
Okay, the guy's having a dry mouth, so I guess that's making him say crazy, crazy things. Certainly any of Trump's successes, I think what this gentleman is trying to say, but is struggling to find the words, is that Trump did great things and he would have done more great things if it weren't for Democrats or something like that. I'm being very charitable. Here is another guy at the rally dressed as sort of like American flag Santa of some kind. And he believes that the deep state rigged the election of Senator John Fetterman. So now it is the rally was in Pennsylvania. Focusing in on that must have been a rigged election as well.
This is the first time I've asked this question. Fetterman, how did he win?
Listen.
Because it's like one of the monsters. No, he didn't win, dude. They planted him like they planted all the rest of the Democrats that get in there, that feeding the same stuff that needs to get done, what their agenda is, and he's just another one of their cogs. So.
And I have to admit, I'm from Pennsylvania, and I don't understand who the people were that voted for him.
Right.
Likewise. I mean, I'm in Texas and I know Ted Cruz wins because I know what he stands for. But Beto wants to grab your AR and
Beto. Anyway, from the accents, it seems that a lot of New York people came to, I would guess Staten Island, came to this rally in Schnecksville. Yeah, there's a guy at the Trump rally who is absolutely furious about having to pay taxes. He doesn't think he should have to pay any taxes because there are undocumented immigrants who receive certain things from the government. So he should pay nothing.
I'm struggling to pay for her bills. But if I just come and walk across the border, you know, maybe I can get $2,500 a month, you know, to help out. So, I mean, more, we see that happening. And we're so angry and upset of that. Like, why are we paying taxes? I don't get it.
Exactly. Why pay taxes if rumors you hear about people are enraging you? Here is another gentleman who claims to be the guy who owns the pickup truck that showed the image of Biden hogtied and gagged. I don't know if you remember, Trump retweeted an image a couple of weeks ago of a pickup truck where on the back of the tailgate, there was an image that makes it look like Joe Biden is in the bed of the truck all tied up. Very violent imagery. The guy they interview next claims that that's his truck. Take a listen to this.
And stuff. So, there you go. But yeah, Google Biden hogtie. You'll see me all over the news.
I'll. Is that a safe Google for me? Is that kind of?
Yeah.
I want to put that in my search engines right here.
The truck's right over there. That's all over the news.
I saw that. Well, God bless you guys coming out.
God bless you, man who put violent imagery of the president on the back of your pickup truck. And then lastly, an individual. This is actually, I don't know, this, they're referring in the comments, this individual is being referred to as he and she. I'm just going to say an individual of unspecified gender is claiming to be related to Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's, and believes we need Trump back in the Oval Office to save the world.
I love your outfit.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about it.
Thomas of Wales. Danny Thomas, Marlo Thomas, Dave Thomas of Wendy's. They're my distant and past relatives.
Oh, very neat.
And I got the good looks.
Sometimes it happens that way.
Okay,
well, I really like the get up. First time to see President Trump?
No, ma'am. I had seen him up in Wilkes-Barre when he was at the Santana Center 2 years ago.
Okay. And so what is it about President Trump you love most?
I love the most. He saved America. He will save America. He will save the world.
And that's absolutely right. He is the man of the people, and he puts America first, but he is the man of the people all over the world. He loves peace. There was peace in this country and also in the world when he was president.
Yeah. This individual thinks Trump is going to save the world despite not even being able to find the money for his legal fees without a month of legal maneuverings. Really, really tough to see this. And when we talk about the reasonable Republicans and reasonable former Trump supporters, and we've seen videos of them, these folks are not convincible. These votes are not changeable. And so to the extent that we can just get the vote out, let's do it. Pennsylvania is a critical state. I don't even think, I mean, listen, you never abandon anybody, but just don't even worry about Texas. Biden doesn't need Texas. A Democrat hasn't won Texas for who knows how long. We really just need to make sure that we're getting out the vote from people in the key states that will counteract the votes of these individuals. That's the strategy that is going to get us not to have four more years of Trump. Let me know your thoughts about these folks. What would it take to change their minds, if anything? In the midst of internal chaos, the Republican Speaker of the House, MAGA Mike Johnson, made a pilgrimage down to Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, Florida, to stand behind, next to, and in front of Trump to say everything's good, we're all on the same page, everything's great. A lot of the point of this is because of increased tension between MAGA Mike Johnson and some elements of the Republican Party, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is increasingly signaling, he may be next to go after Kevin McCarthy as well. So MAGA Mike Johnson flies down to Florida, and then they do a press conference. Really weird press conference with Trump in Florida. And we're going to look at a couple elements here. And at the top line, Trump repeating this totally grotesque and debunked lie that Democrats, and specifically Democratic mothers in blue states, are murdering their babies. Trump repeating this yet again.
This is for having the courage to do it. What they did is very simply give it back to the state. And I'll tell you, the Democrats are the radicals in this, because they're willing to have abortions in the seventh, eighth, ninth month. They're even willing, and you can call it what you want, but you go back to the governor of Virginia, the previous governor of Virginia, the Democrat governor of Virginia, where he talked about execution of a baby after birth. And you can say what you want, but that's extreme and that's radical, and nobody should have that.
Well, you can say what you want, including that it's not happening and it's not a thing, and that would be called murder of a birthed person, and it's just a grotesque, disgusting, misogynistic lie that continues to perpetuate. It is true that there is a very small percentage of abortions that take place in the third trimester. Of that, they are overwhelmingly taking place at the beginning of the seventh month. These are increasingly dire, complex medical situations where the mother's life can be on the line, but they continue to repeat it time and time and time again. Trump's position on abortion is so increasingly incoherent because it's all about, I'll say whatever you want as long as you vote for me. A reporter actually says to Trump, are you pro-choice or are you pro-life? Which one is it? And Trump doesn't answer the question. Listen to this.
Excuse me, please.
Just a follow-up. Over the last few decades, Mr. President, you have both considered yourself pro-choice and pro-life. Which one is it?
Well, you know exactly which one it is. And when I was in New York and when I was a Democrat also, just like Ronald Reagan. You know, Ronald Reagan was a Democrat. We sort of followed a very similar path. But if you look at what we've done with Roe v. Wade, we did something that everyone said couldn't be done, and we got it done. And I give great credit to the Supreme Court and the justices for having the courage to do it. What they did is very simply give it back to the state. And I'll tell you, the Democrats are the radicals in this, because they're willing to have abortions in the seventh, eighth.
All right. So then he goes back to that talking point. But again, no real answer here. Call me whatever you want. Let states do whatever that they want to do. If you're happy with what a state did, vote for me. Thank me for getting that done. If you're unhappy with what a state did, don't blame me. It was the state's decision. Whatever, just vote for me is what Trump should be saying in response to these questions about abortion at this point in time. Then we hear from MAGA Mike Johnson. MAGA Mike Johnson then announces he's going to introduce a bill to require proof of citizenship to vote, which, by the way, you can't even register to vote unless you're a citizen. You can't even register to vote. And Trump kind of looking upset with a scowl on his face.
Republicans are introducing a bill that will require proof of citizenship to vote. It seems like common sense. I'm sure all of us would agree. We only want U.S. citizens to vote in U.S. elections.
Yeah, and those are the only folks who can get on the voter rolls. So quite literally, only American citizens can vote.
But there are some Democrats who don't want to do that. We believe that one of their designs, one of the reasons for this open border, which everybody asks all around the country, why would they do this? Why would they allow all this chaos? Why the violence? Because they want to turn these people into voters. Right now, the administration is encouraging illegals to go to their local welfare office to sign up for benefits.
So listen, hold on, just a few more seconds.
Well, guess what? When you go to a welfare office, they also ask you if you would like to register to vote.
Yeah. So two things on this. If they are legal immigrants, of course we should be encouraging them to register to vote. Why wouldn't we want every legal citizen, if they are legal immigrants who are citizens, why shouldn't they be voting? They should be encouraged to register to vote because they have the same right as everybody else as naturalized immigrants to the United States, like me, right? I mean, why shouldn't I be encouraged to vote? On the other hand, if you're an undocumented immigrant, you can't even register. So this is a complete misdirection, and it's all in service of setting up more claims that if Biden wins, it was stolen. That's what the plan is. They've done it before. They're going to do it again. And lastly, here is MAGA Mike Johnson saying everywhere. This is like they came to me with tears in their eyes and they said, sir, sort of story. MAGA Mike Johnson says the number one concern he's hearing from people when he goes different places is about election integrity.
And incumbents all around. I've been to 23 states now in the last several weeks, and everywhere we go, one of the first questions that people ask about is this issue of election integrity. The border is the number one issue in America. There's never been a political issue that scored so high in the polls as a matter of concern. And it doesn't matter where anyone lives, because as we say now, every state is a border state. They're deeply concerned about that. And election integrity is tied to border, the lack of border security. President Biden has created a catastrophe, and he did it by...
Anyway, you get the point here. And of course, those who have examined this professionally, like our former prior guest on the show, Ken Block, have said there is no state where the small number of irregularities comes even a fraction of a fraction of a fraction close to having made a difference in that state. So the idea that even non-border states are worried about undocumented immigration because undocumented immigrants are voting and stealing the election, not even plausibly happening in a single state. And Mike Johnson says people are coming up to him to talk about it. Now, if people are coming up to him to talk about it, it would be because the Republican Party has spent 3 years telling them this is the number one issue, even though it's not really an issue. But more than likely, the stories are completely fabricated. So Trump having MAGA Mike Johnson down there, I guess, to try to run a little interference about the internal Republican conflict that is again threatening to rip the party further apart. Trump didn't seem super happy to have MAGA Mike down there. MAGA Mike making his pilgrimage and saying everything he's expected to say. We'll see now if Marjorie Taylor Greene calms down with her recent attacks on MAGA Mike Johnson. This is something that is so disturbing to see, but also confirms exactly what we believed. Our friends over at The Good Liars interviewed a woman in New Hampshire. This is so relevant now because of what's going on with Roe v. Wade, Trump's abortion statement, the 1864 law in Arizona. The Good Liars, here's Jason from The Good Liars, speaking with a Trump supporter who says, I'm a Trump supporter and I'm pro-choice. She's not against abortion. She's a pro-choice Trump supporter in New Hampshire. She has no idea that Trump selected three Supreme Court justices, which directly led to the overturning of Roe v. Wade. She supports Trump. She's pro-choice. She doesn't realize it's Trump's choices that took away abortion from so many people. Look at this.
What are your thoughts on abortion?
I think it's your own choice. Yeah. You can't really decide.
Yeah. You don't know what the situation is. So you consider yourself pro-choice?
Yes, pro-choice.
Are you upset that Donald Trump appointed the justices that overturned Roe v. Wade and took that choice away from so many people?
I don't think it should be taken away, no.
She has no idea how we got here and the history of it.
Doesn't bother you that Trump appointed the justices that overturned Roe v. Wade?
Doesn't bother me at all. I think he's the best man for the job. We have nobody else that is.
If your head is spinning, that's incoherent. She doesn't think they should overturn Roe v. Wade, and it doesn't bother her that Trump appointed the justices that overturned Roe v. Wade. She has no idea what's going on.
But he did take away the choice for a lot of women because of that. That doesn't bother you. Now women don't have that choice.
He must have something in place. If he made that decision, he's a great businessman, and I'm not going to go. You know, he's a great businessman, and I'm going to let him say what he wants to say, do what he wants to do.
So I don't know what being a great businessman has to do with selecting anti-choice Supreme Court justices who ultimately overturned Roe v. Wade, which this woman is against. But this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is the example of what I'm talking about. They don't even know what Trump has done, what he stands for. There's a complete and total incoherence. Now, I'm going to say one thing. Unlike the rally goers we saw in videos earlier in the show, I think that if we sat down with this woman and explained it to her, I think she would be gettable as a voter. I think she would be potentially willing to rethink her support of Trump if we just really in a calm situation, right? She's got a microphone in front of her, etc. I think if we sat her down and explained to her what it is that Trump has done, she might reconsider her vote. I think it's possible. Let me know what you think. We have a voicemail number. That number is 2192-DAVID-P. I love this voicemail. Here's a caller who is basically saying to me, David, you've been saying this thing about the 2024 election. I don't understand it. Please explain it to me. Let's take a listen, and then I will explain.
Hey, David. My name's Roxanne, calling from San Diego.
Yes.
And I just heard you say that this election will probably come down to like 500,000 people from swing states or something like that. And can you explain how it would come down to that when I thought it was more based on the Electoral College?
Yes.
So I'm not understanding that.
This is a great question. If you don't understand it, just ask and we will discuss it. It is true that in the United States, the presidential election depends on the Electoral College. And if we look, here are the 2020 results. I have them up on the screen. The reason that Joe Biden became president is because you need 270 electoral votes to become president. Joe Biden got 306. And so he did it. He needed 270. He got 306. However, let's look at some of the details. Joe Biden won Georgia, which is worth 16 electoral votes, but he only won Georgia by 11,000 votes. Joe Biden won Pennsylvania, 20 electoral votes, but he won it by only 81,000 votes. And Joe Biden also won Arizona, which is worth 11 electoral votes, but Biden only won Arizona by 10,000 votes. So without those three states, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Arizona, without those three states, Biden doesn't become president. If Trump had won those three states, Trump would have 279 electoral, meaning Trump becomes president. And so what you look at is, it doesn't matter that Biden won California by 6 million votes. If only 102,000 votes in Arizona, Georgia, and Pennsylvania went the other way, those 102,000 votes flip the results. So in 2020, Biden's victory, in a sense, was decided by 102,000 votes in three states. Biden could have won California by one or by 1 million or by 10 million. It's still only worth 55 electoral votes. And the entire race would have flipped if 102,000 people in those three states, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Arizona, had voted Trump instead of Biden. I expect a similar scenario in 2024. So 500,000 votes in five states, it even may depend on less. And we can put it a different way. If it's a similar situation to 2020, the 2024 election might come down to just 100,000 votes in three states. That's why all of this, well, the polls look okay, maybe I'll stay home. Maybe I'll write someone in third party. Maybe I'll check the box for Bobby Kennedy if I'm in like the one or two states he's on the ballot. That's why it's potentially going to help make Trump president again. I'm not going to do it. You figure out the way you want to do it and let me know. We will talk today on the bonus show about TV networks now increasingly pushing Biden and Trump to commit to presidential debates. Will they do it? We will talk about Joe Biden's new student loan forgiveness program. What are the particulars of it? And we will discuss a lawsuit wherein Fox News, Newsmax, Steven Crowder and Tim Pool are being sued by a man who says they falsely identified him as a neo-Nazi mass shooter, something he claims he is not. All of those stories and more on today's bonus show. Sign up at joinpacman.com. The new website is live. Remember that you can also get the premium written content by becoming a Substack premium newsletter subscriber. And of course, all of my children's books are available at davidpacman.com/book. I'll see you on the bonus show, and I'll be... With the modern Republican Party, allegations are often confessions. And the allegation that the failed former president Donald Trump has been making for months, if not years, that there is a weaponized justice system targeted at he, Trump, by Joe Biden, the current president, is not only completely without evidence. New reporting suggests that it's actually a confession of what Donald Trump plans to do to Joe Biden if he were to get elected and replace Biden in 2024. Axios reports, Trump and Republicans plot a 2025 criminal probe of the Bidens. Bidens, plural. Republicans' impeachment probe of President Biden is unraveling because of a lack of evidence, but their work could become the basis for federal investigations and even prosecutions of the Biden family if Trump wins re-election, Axios has learned. A source close to the Trump campaign says everything you have seen from the Biden DOJ, you can expect to see from the Trump DOJ. One Trump ally argued there is precedent for a second Trump administration to investigate and prosecute the Bidens, the current federal charges against Donald Trump. Where do you even start with something like this? Number one, the authoritarian framework of Project 2025 is not only at a general federal level, it is also part of this unflinching desire to get Biden for what Trump claims is Biden sicking the DOJ and I guess the Attorney General of New York and I guess the state of Georgia, right? I mean, you'd have to believe a lot of crazy things. But Trump is alleging Biden is running these investigations and indictments of him. There's no evidence of that. But what does appear to be the case, and Trump has alluded to it, and now Axios is reporting it directly, is that Trump's plan is to weaponize the Trump DOJ against Joe Biden. Now, understand that, again, Biden's been in elected office for decades. They have nothing on him. It has been the sole focus for some Republican members of the House to find the dirt on Biden. And they haven't even found impropriety by Joe Biden, never mind anything approaching criminality. The witch hunt that Trump claimed was against him and was meritless had merit. The witch hunt against Biden really does appear to be merely a witch hunt, and it has completely fallen through. And it's because the facts and the evidence aren't on the side of those going after Joe Biden. But it's not going to stop them from trying it. Once again, Catherine Stewart told us, Ellie Honig told us, all of these folks have told us, you have to believe these people when they tell you what they're going to do. And they are going to try. It is not going to stop them. And you know what? There's two sides to the James Comer realization that they're not impeaching Biden. Just as a reminder, James Comer has been one of the lead Republicans in the House who has been going on TV and pushing forward this Biden crimes narrative. They're just, all of the blockbuster evidence is just barely out of reach. They're about to get it. And he has now, Comer, has started sending out fundraising emails where he says, listen, the impeachment, it's not going to happen. Part of why it's not going to happen is Democrats control the Senate. They would never vote to convict. But the criminal referrals are why I need you to donate to me. And so they're being very clear. If you zoom out, Trump has alluded to it, Comer has said it, and Axios now has been able to report it. They want to remain in control of the House of Representatives in 2025 going forward, and they want to take control of the Senate in 2025 going forward with the idea that they are going to be able to completely and totally function
as an arm to target Biden and his family. This includes criminal referrals, which hopefully a Trump DOJ will carry forward. Now, as far as bogus investigations go, they arguably made a mistake, and it was a timing mistake. And again, it's all projection. Trump has argued that these indictments came at the time to be most advantageous for Democrats and for Joe Biden. I have argued that that doesn't really make sense. It would have arguably been better if Biden was directing Trump's indictments and they wanted to time it to be as useful to Biden's reelection as possible. They would be doing it later. They would be doing it now. They would be dropping the bombshells over the summer when more voters are paying attention. But again, the idea of timing of this stuff, what Republicans should have done to do more damage.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
German police proved beyond reasonable doubt by bursting in and interrupting the live stream, grabbing the microphone, ending that magnificent Congress, that fascism does not need to win government in order to be in power.
As the official death toll in Gaza nears 34,000, Germany's intensifying its crackdown on pro-Palestinian voices. On Friday, Berlin police raided and shut down a three-day Palestine Congress just minutes after it began. We'll speak with former Greek finance minister Yanis Varoufakis, who was barred from entering Germany and banned from addressing the conference, which his organization, DiEM25, helped organize. Then we'll talk to Palestinian journalist Dalia Hotuka, who says Western media coverage of Israel's war in Gaza has helped Israel avoid growing calls for a ceasefire.
This could not have been achieved without the complicity, unfortunately, of Western journalists across Europe and the U.S. who have manufactured consent for their government's unconditional support of Israel by uncritically parroting Israeli military disinformation and outright propaganda.
We'll also talk to Dalia Hotuka about increasing settler violence in the occupied West Bank. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. An Israeli airstrike destroyed a mosque and homes in Gaza's northern Jabalia refugee camp. Many were reported injured, including children. Another attack on the Nusayrat refugee camp killed at least three people. In Rafah, grieving family members at the Al-Najjar hospital said their final goodbyes today to loved ones who were killed in an overnight Israeli airstrike. This is a Palestinian mother, Umrami Shabbat.
I lost my feelings. I lost my feelings. I don't have feelings anymore. Do I have feelings still? I'm going crazy. They should put me with my son. My son was very dear to me. He had five daughters and a son. His son is only 1 year old. He brought them to me for Eid, to sleep over, and they left, as if he was saying goodbye to them. This boy is attached to his father.
On Monday, doctors uncovered a new mass grave at the decimated Al-Shifa hospital. The bodies clearly belonged to patients, as some still had medical bandages and catheters attached to their dead bodies. Hundreds of bodies have been recovered from the Gaza City hospital grounds since Israeli troops ended their deadly siege April 1st. Attacks on health facilities, medical staff, and patients are considered war crimes and crimes against humanity. In news from occupied East Jerusalem, an Israeli court ordered the forced removal of three Palestinian families from their homes in Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood. The families have lived in their homes for more than half a century and have been battling attempts by Israeli settlers to evict them since 2009. Tensions remain high throughout the region amid reports an Israeli response to Iran's weekend attack could be imminent. Iran warned Israel against launching any further military action 2 weeks after an Israeli attack killed at least two Iranian generals at its consulate in Damascus, Syria. This is Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian.
If the Israeli regime makes a mistake, this time Iran's response, as Iran's military commanders announced, will not be minimal, but immediate and severe.
UN legal experts say the Israeli attack violated international law. Meanwhile, the U.S. is reportedly preparing new sanctions against Iran. Activists across the globe carried out large-scale actions Monday as part of A15, a coordinated economic blockade in solidarity with